All right, hello everyone. Welcome to the second podcast brought to you by OzPuck. Glad you got through the first one and came out of there alive. We thought we'd keep you updated again through this blind friendly form. Like to welcome back our guest, W. Kong.
Hello everybody. Glad to be back.
Yes, yes, all very exciting.
Very exciting.
How have you been enjoying the off season?
It's been quite good actually. It's only been a few weeks, but I guess the best recipe for hockey is to be away from hockey too, so
yep.
It's a good break.
Yep, keeping in touch with the NHL off-season as well?
Of course, can't wait, pretty excited, it's just around the corner now.
It sure is, about a month.
Camp's starting, so yeah.
Yep, about a month to the puck drops,
mm-hmm.
Everyone stay tuned, you can already feel the energy building around the NHL.
Absolutely, definitely. I mean, everyone's filing their roster, and
yep.
I guess they're trying to really stamp out as much, as they can. So
yeah, rookie camps are underway, and your training camps will start soon. So
mm-hmm.
Very exciting.
Mm-hmm.
But as we will do from now on, we'll always begin our podcast with talk around the AIHL.
Mm-hmm.
I know in the last one we covered a little bit on how the AIHL season went. But we didn't really talk too much about Melbourne.
No.
Obviously, they were the Goodall Cup champs. Probably deserved, a bit more airtime, I would say.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they put in a really, really good effort. Played very well against the Bears, and I commented before about the 6-4 final game. Not being too exciting. I don't think a 10-goal game is. Something that's, people should get excited over. But I think it just goes to show the way how good the Melbourne Ice team was, that they were able to play, a gritty defensive kind of 2-1 game against the Bears,
yeah.
Then able to open things up, have 4 goals scored against them, but come
yeah.
back with 6.
That's it.
And I think that's what you want in a championship team, right? That can play a game in any way, and hopefully come out on top.
Well, I mean, I have to mention as well, like this is the first real year that they've had that kind of chemistry for that kind of team. I mean, I think they've done, like I mentioned in the last podcast, they did really well with imports, and their, core Australian players have really come together, obviously to make, a really good first, second line team, or even a third line team, which is, I'm not so much in this league, but, a third line, team can actually make a difference per game. I mean, if you've got the legs for a third line, you've got the skill. I mean, that's a recipe for a great team and a great dynasty right there.
Yeah, well, that's a good point about that third line, because I think Victoria, they've got a really good program down there where they're just able to churn out good
yeah.
players consistently.
Yeah.
And maybe not AIHL superstars or even guys that would even get a look in for the national team. But guys that can contribute on the third line that won't embarrass you,
yeah.
Can go out there and, they'll play soft minutes. They're not going up against, these superstars of the AIHL.
Mm-hmm.
But, can chip in a shift here and there and, maybe control a puck, keep it in. Just do what they need to do.
They need to be able to play a basic game, which is what they can do. It's what every third line should be able to do
exactly.
is to play a basic hockey, and that's what every coach wants from their third line, from a team, regardless of the AIHL or any other league around the world.
Yeah.
So
yeah, good point.
If you're able to have a foundation, a good third line foundation that can either check, can either keep it simple or really trap. And let the other two lines really do what they can and that
yep.
score.
Yep.
And you've got a great team right there. Like, that's your base.
Yeah, yeah. That's I know this. You slipped in there. Is this a Melbourne Ice dynasty? That was something that we were kicking around before, right? Is this the start of maybe a run of success that the Ice, might achieve? Do you think so?
Well, I believe so. I mean, they've managed to convince 2 of their imports already to stay for next year.
Oh, really?
Absolutely, yeah, definitely. It's like that's what the word on the street was when the finals ended, was that 2 of their imports were going to stick around and play another season, maybe live out the summer in Australia, and play another season, and then that's it, you know. So,
well, when four out of your four out of your top five scorers are imports, you'd want to hope that a couple hang around.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. So, but you know what? It could work two ways. I mean, they can either stay in Australia and not go back for the season that they would normally play over season. Next year, they don't come back so strong. I mean,
yeah.
We all know that, you know, the hockey's not the greatest in Australia. Therefore, during the summer, there's not a lot to do. You know what I mean? So,
well, we're living proof of that.
Yeah. What are you talking about? I'm still going to make it.
Oh, man. I am so ingrained in my couch right now that it's just getting ridiculous. You know. I can't reach the remote anymore. I've been stuck on 111 hits on Foxtel for like 5 days. Disgusting. I think not only factor in the players that Melbourne has, mm-hmm. but I think with that facility and that crowd and, you know, the kind of atmosphere that that place generates, yeah. they should be a competitive team just based on that
alone. Yeah.
Like, you know, I don't think there's a better rink. Well, there is no better rink to play. And to have that, you know, as your home rink,
yeah.
for, you know, 10, 12 games or whatever it is,
yeah.
the AHL season, wow, man, that's an immediate boost. And plus, you know, when they play teams down there, they're, you know, often on the second leg of a trip.
That's
you know,
it.
Once visiting Adelaide, then straight over to there to get, you know, yeah. to run into this team that knows how to play and knows how to win.
That's it.
But it's good. It's good seeing Liam Webster lift the good all. He's a good player.
Yeah. Isn't he supposed to be? What is the youngest captain in the AIHL?
You know what? I don't know if anyone tracks that, but I would assume he was.
Yeah.
He's what, like 26.
No, God, no, he's only 24?
Really? Is it 24?
24, yeah.
I wasn't that far off. Don't hold that against me.
Captain, he would have been made captain at a younger age, so this is his first year as captain winning the cup. I'm pretty sure he was captain last year, the year before maybe.
Well, I don't know about last year.
No? Well, who knows, but either way, he's got to be one of the youngest captains around. And
I was thinking about it. I was thinking about it because I remember writing the post, and I was going to say that I think he was the youngest one, but you know, no one really tracks it, so I didn't want to, you know, have some deranged, you know, Adelaide fan come after me saying that they had some.
Yeah, well, who do you? Yeah, but who else is there in Adelaide? I'm pretty sure.
I don't know. I was thinking way back in the day, maybe. You know, didn't they first? They won the first Goodall Cup when it was transferred to the AHL from the Super League, I think.
Yeah.
So who knows? Who knows who was on that team? Mm-hmm. But it probably was a bunch of veterans that, you know, were hanging on to glory. I was thinking before that maybe this would be the start of a dynasty. Mm-hmm. I might have to take a step back on that. I don't know if they are going to be able to repeat. I mean, we're getting way ahead of ourselves here, obviously. But, you know, I looked at their team stats again tonight before we started talking about it, just to kind of finalize my opinion. And it depends what contributions they get from imports next season. I think, as I said, I think they've got some real good depth on the team.
Mm-hmm.
I think they do have three lines that can all play. And that can all, you know, and can all contribute. But unless they get that, you know, 1.5 point per game performances
mm-hmm.
from top, you know, from their top five scorers, you know, and they get a points per game defenseman again, I just don't think there's just enough talent on the, you know, on the bottom three or maybe, you know, the bottom four or five forwards to be able to you know, win again. But, you know.
I have to be honest, you mentioned before that, you know, with their, you know, the crowd and the rink alone, they're going to be, you know, a tough hockey team, obviously, for years to come. But that crowd and the facility alone is what's going to be raking in those, you know, those top scorers, those, you know, top five scorers every single year, year after year after year, because they have so much to offer.
Well, and Melbourne's been able to attract good imports playing out of that shitty rink that they had for all those years, right? Remember those guys that were really good, used to play down there, and they had nothing.
Yeah, but it wasn't enough. That's what I mean. It wasn't enough.
Yeah, yeah.
Now they have enough. They have more than enough. You know, it's really going to open up the floodgates to a lot of you know different pro players and.
Yeah, because the Henke Rink is something that you would be proud of to put on like a post-it.
Yeah.
Flyer on joining Melbourne. I mean, you don't really have to tell them about how the rest of the city is.
That's right.
I'm kidding. I'm kidding. you know, I have to get even with them somehow. Right?
Yeah.
I can't just have the good all and all the glory. but speaking of, like, I think that's enough on Melbourne. I think, you know, everyone knows how well they played.
Mm-hmm.
But we just thought we would give them a bit more airtime just to congratulate them once again. Liam Webster did a fantastic job captaining this team. I was really happy to see Stu Denman win a cup.
Yep.
Good contributor to the team.
Absolutely, and to Australian hockey.
Yeah, definitely. I think he's a solid presence in the Melbourne locker room,
mm-hmm.
and I think he will do whatever it takes to make whatever team he is on successful, which is fantastic. Everything you want in a goaltender, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Everybody's going to the party, have a real good time. Dancing in the desert, blowing up the sunshine. Everybody's going to the party, have a real good time. But on to, but staying with Melbourne, April next year, Australia will host the Division II World Championships. April 4 to 10, down at the Henke Arena in Melbourne. The second time that we've hosted it, what was it, 07?
08.
08, was it in Newcastle?
Absolutely, yeah.
So second time in, was that 4 years? 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, I gotta say, Australia is currently a Division II World Championship team.
Mm-hmm.
Just having a look at the competition that they're up against down there in Melbourne,
mm-hmm.
if we don't win that group, I don't know where Australian ice hockey goes.
Well, remind me again who's in the group.
Okay, we are playing such hockey powers as Serbia,
mm-hmm.
Belgium, New Zealand, Mexico, and Korea.
Okay. So obviously, I mean, obviously the big teams to watch out for there and always have been versing Australia is Korea, of course. You know, that's their only rival, I think. Belgium is really up there. They have a professional league over there. They have pro players. They get paid to play, so it's their, you know, it's one of their main jobs over there.
But Well, you can get into those teams a little bit. I'll give you plenty of opportunity to talk about them. But just look at the Group B for the World Championships, right? Our sister group, they have teams Croatia, Romania, Iceland, Bulgaria, China, and Ireland. Now, would you say that's a tougher group?
Absolutely not. The only...
No?
Croatia, no, I don't agree, because Croatia will walk that group. Whereas, you know, obviously we've had a little bit of trouble with Korea in the past and with Belgium. And I'm not sure if we've played Serbia yet, perhaps this year, the past year. I can't remember. But, you know, from what I hear, they're, you know, a pretty competitive team. I mean, they have obviously, you know, Matt Ezzie played in the Serbian league over there. So they have a professional league of their own, too. So. But when it comes to that Group B over there with, what'd you say, China and Bulgaria?
We beat China 1-0 in the last World Championships in 08.
Well, that's what I mean. But, you know, who else was there? Sorry, who did I say was going to walk? Croatia
was going to walk all over them, yep.
Croatia's definitely going to walk. I mean, we played them, well, they were played in, Lithuania. Australia played Croatia and Lithuania.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, they were the team to beat for us. I mean, obviously, right. In the tournament. So, you know, they were quite competitive. So I believe that they'll walk that.
Australia has a better chance of getting out of Group A? Our current group?
If the roles were changed and we were in Group B, we would absolutely walk Group B, I believe.
If you substituted us for Croatia?
That's right. That's right. Absolutely. But, you know, as history will tell us, I mean, we've had some trouble, like I mentioned before, with Korea.
Yep.
And sometimes we just can't get over that, you know.
Well, then it's a good thing, right? It's a good thing that we're not in Group B.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
you're thinking about challenges? Yeah, of course.
Yeah. We should, if things go right, win Group A.
Yeah.
And even if things went really, really, really right and we were in Group B, we still probably wouldn't get through. Because Croatia would be, assuming we were in the same group as Croatia, substitute us for, I don't know, Ireland or something.
Yeah.
Well, so that's good. So it's something to look forward to.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it'll be a competitive tournament and, there'll be, pro players from Korea. They're going to be amazing. They'll be a real quick team to beat. And same with Belgium. So those two teams are going to be the big powerhouses, I reckon.
Korea, very disciplined.
Yeah.
Man, everyone would know their role on that team. I wonder what Koreans do to get fired up or focused for a hockey game. drink
tea. They probably threaten their families.
Like the soccer teams win the World Cup or go work in the mines. Yeah. I think that was North Korea though. I don't think I should throw South Korea in there as well.
Be careful. We might get boycotted.
Maybe they're already thinking about boycotting the tournament. We're too liberal in Australia.
Yeah.
Maybe our facilities aren't good enough for them to. I don't know. But
it's funny though, when the China team came over in 08, obviously there's a lot different strategies of coaching these players, and Australian team was I think quite fit, and they'd have about a month to prepare, and they ate well and whatnot, and then you see China sparking up a couple of cigarettes before the game.
No way.
Oh, massively, yeah. Chinese players having cigarettes with their coaches, yeah, absolutely.
Oh my.
Hilarious. So if Korea is anything like China, but still.
Well, I can't believe that. I thought China would have been doing laps around, the Hiss arena.
Coughing up a lung while doing it.
Players deliberately taking penalties, right? Just 2 minutes in the box with nothing but a...
Oh, thank God.
Yeah. It was hard work out there. Nothing like that. Wow. I'm totally speechless after that.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Oh, man, I wouldn't even expect New Zealand to do that. Suppose that, if they weren't smoking, maybe they would have scored the goal. So,
maybe.
To tie the game up. But, wow, I can't believe that. Amazing, amazing story. So it's April 4 to April 10.
Mm-hmm.
I do believe it is already sold out, though, right?
Yeah, it would be, yeah.
Like, similar to the finals weekend. It was like trying to get tickets to a rock concert. If you weren't there when the doors open, just gone.
Yeah.
I'm probably going to have to marry some AIHL Australian player just to get tickets, which is a shame.
Yours already?
Sorry?
You mean you haven't got yours already?
No, apparently AusPac doesn't, alleviate me to VIP status.
Ah.
I thought I would have. I thought, there would have been someone that was connected with the world championships out there who might have wanted, either of us to, provide commentary interviews, but didn't happen.
Yeah.
So I blame that squarely on your performance in the first podcast.
Ah, my mistake.
So
I'll start networking for you.
That's right. Pick your game up a little bit.
Yeah.
It'd be nice to see it. I don't think I will be able to get down there, but it's a bit early. We'll talk about them as we get a bit closer. But while we're on the topic, I wish all the teams you know, well. I hope no one gets injured, but I really hope Australia wins.
Of course.
There ain't no party like a Melbourne City party.
Go Australia.
Go Australia.
Is the sum of a thousand lives. What we know is almost nothing at all. But we are what we are till the day we die, or till we don't have the strength to go on. So we don't have the strength to go on. Well, we are.
Okay, picking up from where we left off, I should say, from the first podcast, we were talking about the Ilya Kovalchuk situation.
Mm-hmm.
And the state of play at that time was whether his contract 2.0 get approved or rejected from the NHL. We both had mixed feelings. I think I originally said it was rejected, but then I said the NHL probably could approve it just to put it mm-hmm. behind them.
Mm-hmm.
It eventually was approved.
Yeah.
And it's worth talking about now that it's all done and dusted and we're 2 weeks on from it. Have you seen the details of his contract?
I haven't actually had a chance to look at it, in depth.
Oh, man.
I hear it's something hilarious.
Oh, wow. To start off, the NHLPA and the NHL had to cut a deal to get it approved, right? Because the whole issue with having contracts with a long tail is that, you know, the last 2 or 3 or 4 years of them where the player had signed for league minimum, which is, $500,000+.
Mm-hmm.
The issue was that in 10, 12, 15 years' time, who knows what the league minimum is going to be.
Yeah.
Right? So it could really be up around the $800,000, $900,000, maybe even $1 million just to play. So how can you honor contracts from then, fast forward, 10, 12 years, and then the player's getting paid less than league minimum, all kinds of legal issues and blah blah blah.
Mm-hmm.
So the NHL did a quick guesstimate and put in a monetary limit or a monetary minimum limit of $1 million for any year past when the player will be 40.
41st.
Is that
the 41st?
No, I think it's in the season that the player turns 40.
Ah, okay.
To at least get paid $1 million.
Okay.
Right. So keep that in mind. There's a couple more things. It's a really interesting read about what kind of deal it was if you go into a bit more detail, but we won't, because I'm sure everyone that's already interested in it
mm-hmm.
has already read about it. But just to go over some numbers with this Ilya Kovalchuk contract. This season he'll get paid $6 million.
Yep.
Next season he'll get paid $6 million. Season after that he'll be 11. Yeah, calm down, it gets worse. Season after that he's 11.3. Same again for the next season.
Yeah.
Now we're up to season 2015-2016. 11.6 million. Season after that, 11.8 million. Season after that, 10. Then it goes to 7-4-1-1-1. The last 2 years, he gets paid $3 million and $4 million, respectively.
Right.
So, in 2024-2025, when he is 42, he is going to be paid $4 million. Now, there is no way in hell that New Jersey expects him to still be playing to receive that money.
Yeah.
You agree?
Yeah, absolutely. But what's he going to do, chuck a Chelios and expect to get paid that much?
Oh, man. I understand. Okay, and to sum it all up, the contract, the cap hit is $6.66 million a season.
Right.
Right, so you take in all those, it's all the averages of all those $11 million years that I said and everything like that. But just to tag on these extra couple million at the end of the season, just to make the NHL happy.
Mm-hmm.
Remember when I said about it turning into a bit of a sideshow, a bit of a farce?
Yeah.
This is exactly what's happened, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if you're an agent trying to negotiate long-term deals now, well, why not just put this $3 or $4 million when he was 45?
Yeah.
46.
Yeah.
I mean, it'll get rejected from the NHL, but I'm kind of sick of reading about this Kovalchuk dude.
Oh, thank God it's over.
Oh, you know, thank God. Thank God. I mean, one thing that I really hate about it, right? New Jersey's a good team. You know, they're a good franchise. They're not my favorite, but, you know, they've been successful.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, they are $3.5 million over the salary cap.
Yeah.
What do you do? What would you do? Trade Kovalchuk?
After all that?
Well, actually, you're better off in L.A.
Yeah. Yeah, psych.
Yeah. Have you signed it yet? Have you signed it yet?
Yes, have you signed it yet? Boo.
There's not too many players in New Jersey that earn lots and lots of money, right?
No.
You know, you've got, who do you have? Langenbrunner, who's their captain. I guess you can't trade him.
Caprize?
I think he only earns about $3 million at the moment. He's a real bargain player. He's a $90.3 million guy. Like, he's going to cost a fortune.
Absolutely.
His contract is up. You know, and they don't really have any other options. So I've been watching them for a week. I have no idea what they're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Demote like a Bryce Salvador or something like that.
Yeah.
Just to pave the way for this money hungry, you know, superstar.
Yeah.
That's kind of crippled his team. Yeah, it'd be worth paying attention to. I'll tell you that much.
Definitely.
See if he can really, you know, carry the weight of a $11.8 million contract in the year 2000.
Yeah, exactly. After all this trouble.
Yeah. In the 2016, 2017.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money. That's more than Jagr. You know, it's more than Kreider ever made.
Yeah.
Probably more than Gretzky made in a season by far.
Yeah.
You know, wow, that's certainly is a lot of money. Darling, doesn't follow me, it rides on my back. I may be ugly, but they sure love the stare. Which kind of brings us on to the next topic of the most improved teams in the off season.
Mm-hmm.
As we said, camps are going to get underway soon. Does anyone get your pick as the most improved team in the off season?
Maybe Toronto. I mean, I know that's one of your favorite teams, but you know they've had a lot of you know house cleaning to do in the off season.
Yep.
And you know what I've been reading is that you know they've got a really good chance this year from what they've been doing. I mean, from their rookies, they really have to build from the ground up, obviously. But they,
yep.
I think that they're starting to build this. You know, they're already a young team right now,
yep.
But I think they're starting to get a little bit more depth. I mean, and what do you think?
Well, you were right with them being young. I think they finished as the second youngest team in the NHL last season. I think they were, you know, if you look at after, once the Fanouf trade was made and the Giguère trade was made,
mm-hmm.
which was all January 31st of this year,
yeah.
Toronto set a points, a points pace after that time that would have gotten them into sixth spot in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah.
So it's a pretty positive sign that, you know, the team does clear out some deadwood, bring in some players that want to contribute, you know, and still got those young players that are really playing for NHL contracts, you know, every game, every shift, and that's what you need. Because if they're not flying for 82 games,
that's it.
They won't have a job next year.
Yeah.
With anyone. Not just with Toronto. They'll just be gone. You know, you look at the free agent dilemmas that are out there now.
Mm-hmm.
50 players that can still play can't get jobs, so these kids won't get them. I think they will be better. Of course, if they die in the ass at any point in the season, and by that I mean go maybe 10 games without a win.
Yeah.
See you later. Just, you know, guys will be, it'll be January and they'll be thinking about their off-season plans already.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yes, I think they have vastly improved for where they finished last year, from definitely from when they started the season, you know, prior.
Yeah.
I think they can win. I think they can. Good. They can good. You know, when you're starting from 29th in the league,
yeah,
everything looks better, right? So
yeah, absolutely. Is that, up is the way to go.
That's right. I was going to say that my most improved team was Atlanta.
Yeah.
Have you been following much about with that?
Not really, no.
I think Atlanta's in a situation where, man, they need to win right now.
Big time.
Right now. Like, what else is the team, you know, building towards?
Mm-hmm.
But I think they've done a really good job of adding a couple players. I mean, they made that silly trade with Chicago, which was, you know, they got Bufflin, Sopel, Eager, and they got that prospect, that Akim Aliyu.
Yeah,
that prospect, and they gave up. Well, I mean, I won't tell you what they gave up because I'm going to go on a bit of a rant about that later. But I think they brought in some NHL players. They've improved their depth. They got Chris Mason in net.
Yeah.
Along with that Ondrej Pavelec guy. So, yeah, it's a pretty good tandem. You know, they still got Evander Kane. You know, he'll be back bigger and better and hopefully will be injury-free and could put up 60 points. And Brian Little, you know, Antropov coming off a career year in points.
Well, you know, I'm going to throw out the name Angelo Esposito because, you know, he's in the lineup there. I mean... Yeah. Although you know, word on the street though is, you know, he was supposed to be one of these superstars that never really blossomed because he's so injury prone. But yeah, you know, once he gets his legs going, once he gets a feel for the NHL, I mean, they're supposed to be saying that he's supposed to be one of a great player, like one of the players to watch for, and to really beat create a team around. So
I mean, he's a young kid. Mm-hmm.
Young superstar, but he's, you know, obviously been injured.
I'm glad you mentioned Angelo Esposito because at one time he was ranked number one in his prospect draft year.
Yeah.
That's pretty good cred.
Yeah.
Right, and he kind of fell off the pace a little bit because, you know, of those injuries and he lost his legs a little bit. But you know, just to achieve that is pretty impressive.
Yeah.
One. And I think he's shown quite a bit of resilience with all of those injuries
mm-hmm.
that he's had. You know, he's already been traded. He was in the Hossa trade.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh. You know, he got cut from the Canadian junior team.
Yeah.
You know, the national Canadian junior
team. Yeah.
He got cut from there three times, made it in his last year of eligibility.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and is going to have a good NHL career, you know, as long as, you know, he's not always injured. But yeah, I think the lessons that he's learned along the way is probably going to make him something like future captain material.
That's right, yeah.
So it will be interesting. He'll definitely get his chances in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever role they want him to play, I think he'll be able to sit in there and play. But hopefully, you know, hopefully he jumps in to be a bit offensive.
Yep.
Well,
that's what he's there for. I mean, he's got some pretty sweet hands.
Yeah.
He's quick and, you know, he can dangle. So, once he gets going, I mean, that's if he gets going. You know
yeah,
I mean?
That's if. But I do think it will work out for him.
Yeah.
He's going to be fantastic. What are your thoughts on the Philadelphia Flyers? Because I had them listed here as another team that I thought improved immensely during the offseason.
Well, I don't have enough information on them to really make. I mean, what have they done in the offseason since, you know, their playoff run, like, obviously against Chicago?
Well, they traded away Simone Gagné. They traded him to nothing for Tampa Bay, right? For a Matt Walker, who's a depth defenseman and a fourth-round pick. It was clearly just a salary dump, right? Gagne had to waive his no-trade clause to get it done, but I think he wanted to go play with Eisenman in Tampa Bay. But they bring in Nick Jerdev. Is that a name that rings a bell?
Of course, yeah.
Yeah.
From Columbus. Absolutely.
Yeah, he bolted from the NHL to the KHL last year.
Yeah.
But he's now back. Put up 25 goals in his last full NHL season. And he comes in at a price tag of $2
million. Yeah.
And I think he is someone that replaces Gagne and probably play just as well.
Well, he's definitely an end-to-end player. Completely different, obviously, style to Gagne, but he's definitely an end player. Like, he can, see some highlights where he's just picked up the puck in the defensive zone and just wheeled it out of there and scored. Falling down, he's that kind of player, and maybe he'll be given an opportunity to do something else. I mean, he was always a good player.
But Philadelphia doesn't need any more, grinders, plumbers. No. They got a lineup full of those. Adding pure skill, I think, is a really good move and a cheap.
Who do you think that they'll play him with? What chemistry do you think they'll go with? For that roster.
It depends. It depends on it depends on what role they want him in. Like, he could probably line up as Briere's wing.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Because Briere goes in the corners, right? He's a small little guy, but he kind of knows what it takes to get the puck.
Yeah.
I think the way he distributes it will do good things for Zhirdev's game.
Yeah.
But of course, if not, if they want someone like, because it's going to be a, they've got to find him a center, right? So you're really only looking at Richards.
Yeah.
Carter, but I don't think Carter's ever going to play center again. Well, I don't even know why Carter's still in Philadelphia, to be honest. But he just looked lost in the Stanley Cup Finals last year.
Yeah,
looked lost. Didn't matter where he was playing. Just how did he not score on Niemi right at the end there? Remember that Game 6?
Absolutely, yeah.
Niemi's head. Just put the puck in. What's your problem? if he lines up against lines up with Richards, he'll obviously create a ton of room.
Mm-hmm.
So. It's going to be one of those two options. I'm going to say that to start the season, Richards and Carter stay together.
Yep.
And they'll put Briere and Jerdev on the second line. And he'll probably have someone like, I don't know, some idiot like Dan Carcillo playing with him, who will just ruin everything consistently. But yeah, but the defense of Philadelphia, I think they're a team that, I don't think they will make the mistake, of waiting to the last game of the regular season to clinch the playoffs.
Good.
I think they'll go out there and destroy everyone right from the start.
Well, they are a destroying team.
But they certainly are. Just ask, Montreal or... didn't they put a glamorous end to their little run?
That's right, yeah.
Playoffs. Or not so glamorous. However way you look at it. Any teams that you thought had a really bad offseason?
As in no movement or just got the raw end of the deal?
No, I didn't do enough to improve their teams.
Maybe Edmonton?
It's always easy to pick on Edmonton.
Well, what have they done? What have they done to improve? And how do you improve from what they had?
They're trying to get a new arena.
That's fantastic. What are they, Melbourne Ice? That's not going to... All of a sudden they get a new rink and they win a championship? Come on.
They might be able to get some player interest.
Some good Australian imports, maybe.
Melbourne's the feeder club for the Oilers. They just send Hall down here. You're out of shape, kid.
Yeah.
Off to Melbourne.
So there you go. So Edmonton.
Yeah, but the thing about Edmonton is they've got this boat anchor of a contract by the name of Sheldon Surrey.
Yeah.
Not to mention Harper Bullen, who I don't want to go over again, but, you know, he's way overpaid. And I've got nothing to blame. Yeah, you know, Jeff Tambellini or whoever runs that shit show. Man, if you're an Oilers fan, man, you would burn the old arena down as soon as they're ready to move into the new one.
Yeah,
you know, just rid it of all its bad memories and stuff. Like that. You know, sorry Wayne, sorry Mess.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know, the last 10 years have been ridiculous. But you know, hey, cup run in 06.
Yeah.
Something to hold on to.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen a team fall from grace? Like they did.
Hard.
Yeah. Yeah. Just blame Pronger's wife.
It's too cold here.
Let's go to California. And only to California. Don't want to go to Toronto? Nah. Damn. Speaking of like what Edmonton didn't do. There has been some ridiculous. Just recapping this whole NHL offseason, right? To gear us up for the new season, just so everyone knows what's going on. Has there been any weird signings or weird trades that you just don't get why they happened? the weird and wacky world of NHL trades and signs.
I don't pay attention enough. I mean, the only one I can think of was maybe the Lebda trade from Detroit.
That was a signing, by the way.
Sorry, the signing to Detroit, to Toronto, I think it was.
Yeah. Just slot him in somewhere.
Yeah.
I mean, how many games does Lebda get this season, right? Like 40, maybe?
Maybe.
Oh, man. I mean, he's got to outplay Jeff Finger, which isn't hard. You know, I could probably outplay Jeff Finger, I reckon.
I'm a bit if you play D.
I could play D.
You could play better D than Jeff Finger.
But half the salary, too.
Yeah.
I don't get it. I mean, he's there for 2 years, so maybe he thinks this is his sleeper year and he'll get a chance to show up next season. Really take Toronto by.
Maybe a shining season.
Sorry, what was that?
Maybe it'll be a shining season. Maybe he'll be the diamond in the rough, you know, like Datsuk was for Detroit in 01.
Oh, I'm pretty sure if Lebda was a diamond, someone would have figured it out by now. I think he's been out of that rough for a long time.
Maybe he hasn't figured it out just yet.
He hasn't reached his own personal potential as a player, as a person. Do you know Derek Bougard?
Yeah.
Do you know he signed for 4 years at $1.65 million for the New York Rangers?
Was he coming from Minnesota?
Yeah. Yeah.
And he signed for less than what he was making?
No. He signed for about... It was something like 400% raise.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't. You know, Glenn Sather is absolutely driving me crazy. What is he doing with the Rangers? Man, they got how many more useless contracts do they want to add to that team?
Yeah,
I mean, they still haven't signed Mark Stahl. They've got, you know, Bugatt. All right, fine. He's 6'8". He's 257 pounds. He's probably the best, you know, the best enforcer in the league. But $1.65 million for 4 years. Is a disgusting signing. Disgusting. I would rather have Mark Stahl on my blue line than this guy doing 4 minutes a game, patrolling, you know, making sure that anyone that, you know, blows snow in Henrik Lundqvist's face will get stared down.
Yeah.
Man. I hate that guy. That's going to be the weirdest signing I've seen of the offseason.
But yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I know. I'll go on about how Atlanta did a good job as well. You know, good job improving their team for the upcoming season. But I'll tell you what, Chicago absolutely pulled Atlanta's pants down on that Byfuglien trade.
Yeah.
Right? Byfuglien, Sopel, Ego, and Aliyu, which are good players. But Atlanta gave back their first round pick, their second round pick, Marty Reisner, who's nobody, right? He's a washed up veteran.
Yeah.
Jeremy Moran, who's a good prospect, and Joey Crabb, who's arguably got the best name in the whole deal. So he shouldn't have gone anywhere. Joey Crabb? Come on. That's the kind of name you want to hold on to, right?
Absolutely. A name like that will be remembered forever.
Yeah, I'd love to see crabs on the back of a jersey.
Or on the front. Yeah. Which is most likely for most NHL players.
Well, yeah, but you couldn't see it. They'd be concealing that pretty well.
Yeah.
Team doctors would take care of that.
Best medicine in the world.
You know, I think Atlanta does a good job, but I have no idea what's the centerpiece of that trade, right? You've got Sopel from Chicago, who they were trying to give away for nothing. They got Eager, who's like a fighter. Aliyu, who plays in the East Coast Super League. East Coast.
Yeah, it's just being called up recently from the Sting.
Yeah, yeah.
What is it?
The ECHL.
Yeah, the East Coast Hockey League.
And then you've got Byfuglien. So obviously it's Byfuglien who's the center of the day, because he's the only one with any talent on there. And he's not going to play forward and D. Sorry?
He can play forward and D.
But he does nothing during the regular season. Shows up during the playoffs, contributes, which is good. But if you were going to put Byfuglien out as kind of like the centerpiece of your offense, you know, teams would laugh at you. Do you think?
Okay. Well, maybe he's found a niche. Maybe there's a niche. There's a Byfuglien niche that every team should have. I mean, someone could play forward and D, and he did come out pretty heavy in the playoffs. So maybe he'll, you know, be, I guess, using that momentum from the playoffs that he just had and trying to, you know, do something with that Atlanta in the start of the season.
Yeah, you know? Well, I hope so. Because
maybe that's the idea. Maybe that was the idea.
Man, if he doesn't score 30 goals for the next 3 years for Atlanta, deal is completely one-sided. Brent Sopel can't skate backwards.
Is it a D?
Yeah, he's a defender. He stands with his back to the other team's goalie and just chases forwards once they go past him. I've seen it.
Yeah.
That's what happens. Ben Eager doesn't play with a stick. He just jumps out there and
clothesline.
Yeah.
Clotheslines.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I don't know. There's so many things that went wrong during this NHL offseason. Kari Leitanen.
Mm-hmm.
$3.55 million for 3 years in Dallas.
Wow.
Dallas overpaid. You know, they traded him before he became a free agent and signed him to a contract, thinking that that was going to be the market value for a goaltender. No. Oh, Turco signs like, what, $1 million in Chicago? Yep. And they've got this Leitanen kid who's just a terrible goaltender.
Yeah.
Just terrible. And $10 million?
Is he a first string?
Well, he was when he was in Atlanta, but he hasn't been healthy enough.
Right.
To really come close to being anything more than, you know, a part-time backup. But, wow, that's just a terrible deal. I do like the Mike Comrie signing, though.
Oh, where did he sign?
Pittsburgh.
Thank God.
NHL wouldn't be complete without Hillary Duff's husband. Playing somewhere. I hope.
He probably paid them.
Yeah. It's just $500K on the books. He's not really getting any money.
Yeah.
He's like, do you know who I am? I'm Hillary Duff's husband. I don't need your check.
I'll get Hillary to buy this team.
That's right. I was going to say that I hope Hillary puts out a couple albums over the next year, because he certainly isn't bringing in any money.
What is he bringing in to Pittsburgh there?
What did he sign for?
Yeah. Yeah, 500K, right?
Yep. Yep.
I mean, what is he bringing in to Pittsburgh? I mean, is it worth 500K?
Well, you know what? They didn't bring Guerin back. So there's obviously a hole in the forward ranks. Can you see Comrie lining up as Crosby's winger?
I don't think so. I don't think he's good enough. I don't think he's big enough.
Yeah. He's certainly not a Bill Guerin.
No.
And he's not a Chris Kunitz.
You know, maybe he is. Where would you put him?
I maybe think that Malkin might be able to do for Comrie what Malkin did for Talbot.
Yeah.
You know, Talbot was a kind of nobody, played with Malkin, developed some chemistry, you know, chipped in probably as many goals as Talbot could ever score.
Yeah.
It's like, maybe Comrie does that. You know, he kind of has, you know, he plays with a guy like Malkin, who, again, is a really good puck distributor.
Yeah.
And Comrie just parks his, you know, 110 pounds to the side of the net and tries to, I don't know, poke in Malkin rebounds all game.
I guess while...
Well, he might play defense. You know, if Bufflin's doing it.
Yeah. Yeah, why not?
He could be the missing link.
I mean, I have seen him skate backwards.
So he's already one-upped Sopel. it'd be fun to watch. You know, but, you know, Pittsburgh should have some good good pre-game entertainment now. I'm sure Hillary will be doing the anthem.
Yeah, yeah.
Things like that.
Hi, honey. Hi.
Have fun, play hard.
Be careful. Don't let anyone push you around.
Yeah. Watch out for that boogard. Oh man, so funny. Laughs and jokes around. Remember clothes in the kitchen, yeah, to get things off the ground. And it was up and away. Oh, but it's right hard to remember that on a day like today when you're all argumentative and you've got the face on. Okay, we're going to try something. We're going to introduce the new segment right now. This is what I guess we or I can't remember.
That what?
Might have been you. we're dubbing this the shootout, where I will ask WCOM 5 random questions, and he has to answer them as soon as he can. Are you ready?
As ready as I'll ever be.
Okay, question one. Will the Blackhawks represent the West in the Stanley Cup Finals this season?
I absolutely think so.
Okay. Will the Oilers set the record for the worst season in NHL history?
I don't think so. No. Not this year.
Not this year?
Have faith. Come on, Suri.
Get traded already. 10 to 15 years from now, will you get arrested for uttering the name Kovalchuk in New Jersey?
Yes. Why not?
Sure.
I predict I'll be in New Jersey in 10 to 15 years from now, so yes. I'll be playing, obviously, taking Kovalchuk's spot.
Of course. does Steve Stamkos get 100 points this season?
No, I don't think so. Not yet.
We had 90.
I reckon it'll be a 90. It'll get to 97.
It's got gun. 99. Okay. Last one. Does Jose Theodore get a job in the NHL this season, or will he end up in the AIHL?
He's coming to the Bears.
Yep.
Definitely coming to the Bears. So, no, he's not going to end up with a contract.
You know, funny story about Jose Theodore is he likes to... apparently, his teammates get hysterical when he regales them with stories of him winning the Hart Trophy in 2002.
Yeah.
They think he's the funniest guy in the world. Apparently, it happened. I don't know.
I don't remember.
What an idiot. But, yeah, I look forward to seeing... Theodore in a Bears jersey next year. I will officially not pay to watch him play. But, you know, it'd be nice to have a, you know, increase the French population of Sydney for a little while.
Alrighty. Okay, well, so I guess it's your turn, Mr. AP.
I'm ready.
All right. Well, I think my questions are a little bit more open-ended, so they might take a little bit longer. So
okay.
We're going to get started here. So you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, it's a tough one. Favorite AIHL player?
Ooh, past or present or ever?
Ever.
Ooh. I will go with Tyler Lovering.
Okay. And honestly, do Toronto have a chance this year?
Chance at what?
Chance at making the playoffs.
Yes. The East is terribly pathetic, and they really do have a chance to get in. Dion Phaneuf said they did.
So it must be true.
It must be true.
Thank God.
That guy says.
Who's your favorite tender in the NHL today or of all time?
Oh, man.
We're talking someone that really stands out, not just a big name from back in the day. We're talking about someone that really catches your eye.
I think of all time, someone... Oh, but you see, I can't back someone unless they've been a winner, but I'm going to go with Mika Kiprasov.
Yeah.
Because I think he is something that every goaltender... I think he embodies what every goaltender wants to be.
Yeah.
He's quick, flexible, his mental strength is amazing. And I think... that, you know, in kind of the same way that what Wah did or what Brodeur did, I think he has brought in the hybrid style that you see in every NHL goaltender these days. So I like him. I wish he had won a bit more, but I think he's a goalie that I could watch all the time.
Okay. And you're a top pick for the Stanley Cup playoffs next year, or this year, next year.
What, in the final?
Yeah, I know it's pretty early. It's pretty early, too early to tell. But you know, you got to make them now. If you would place a bet before the season start, you would pick a team who's going to go right to the Stanley Cup final.
I'm going to go with who I said last podcast. I'm going to stick with Pittsburgh coming out of the East.
Okay.
And I'm going to go with Vancouver coming out of the West.
Okay. All right. Cool. And a random, completely random question here: how old do you believe is too old in the AIHL or NHL? A completely different leagues.
Too old, like to play.
Yeah.
Well, in the AIHL, it's probably 55.
Yeah.
Maybe 60. Because if you can still sit in the penalty box for the too many men on the ice penalties,
mm-hmm.
you can contribute to your team.
Right.
And 60-year-olds can do that. And I don't think there's any difference between a 60-year-old. Or a 16-year-old getting no shifts a game.
Okay.
In the NHL, I would say 30.
Shit, I've only got 5 years left.
I know. I'm done already. So, I think everyone that's younger than me, or everyone that's, you know what I'm trying to say. But all honestly, I think that I like the natural progression of a hockey player. I think about 40 years old,
yep.
if you're playing past 40, people start laughing at you.
Yeah, yeah.
And sucked in. Because you brought it on yourself. Right, excellent. I think that's all. Was that it? Was that your 5 questions?
Absolutely. That was my 5th question. That was fantastic.
All right. Well, I hope that was a little bit entertaining. Thanks everyone for tuning in to the second podcast. As always, any final words, WCOM?
No, just as Don Cherry would say, keep your stick on the ice.
He'd also praise Jeebus for letting us do another podcast.
Absolutely. Maybe we get more downloads this time?
Oh, I don't know. I'm sure we have to exceed our record-breaking attempt for Australian podcasts, Australian Ice Hockey podcasts. I don't know. You know what I'm saying. Yes, thank you. Thank you, everyone. Pleasure tuning in. Hopefully we've shed some light on some NHL issues. Look forward to the NHL season starting soon. NHL 11 comes out September 16th.
This Thursday,
get in there. Get your, Electronics Boutique will only have two copies. So get in there and get one of them.
Well, thank God we've already got them. So suck in everyone else.
Yeah. If you're trying to buy them around Parramatta, I bought them all. just really closing in that market. Right. Well, thanks again for your time, WCOM.
Thanks for having me, AP.
And everyone out there, have a fantastic evening, and you'll hear from us soon. Oh, wait. You've got to plug the blog. You go ahead and do it.
As always, go to auspuck.blogspot.com for all your NHL, AIHL, and Australian hockey news.
Yep, and let us know your thoughts. Comment on there. Drop me an email, auspuck@gmail.com. Look forward to the feedback as always. Bye, everyone.
Bye.